Shalom, shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Restoration Hour today. You know, it's so good to be with you all, and we know that Yahweh is just truly an awesome, awesome God and just an awesome, awesome King. And we just really want to welcome you onto the Restoration Hour. And I truly know that, you know, Abba Father, He loves us and He wants to meet with us. And, you know, really just preparing for this Restoration Hour and just being in that space, you know, Yahweh was just laying so many things on our hearts today and just really telling us what He wants us to share with you. And so please let us know, firstly, if the sound is all good and if everything is there and you can hear us all perfectly. Last week we had a little bit of drama. And don't worry, there is supposed to be music playing in the background. So if you are hearing music, it's supposed to be there. We want to welcome you into this space, and we just want to welcome Yeshua in, you know, to everything that we are going to do today, to everything that is on our hearts, everything that's on our minds. And really, you know, sometimes I feel like it's kind of hard sometimes to not be in a physical space with everybody, to not be physically with everyone. But I want you just to take this minute as we are just sitting here and as we are just listening and as we are just fellowshipping with one another. We know that we are together in the spirit. We know that we are together in the spirit realm. We also know that there are many things that's happening in our world right now. And I pray that you'll come to a place of deep shalom in this perfect moment right now as we are together, as Yeshua is with us. And you know, we know, like I said, there's so many things happening in our world, so many things that's on our hearts. But mostly tonight, I know that it's not just what's on our hearts for the world, but it's what's on our hearts for ourselves. It's what's on our hearts for the people we care about. It's what's on our hearts for the people we love. It's what's on our hearts for the brokenness we see in others and maybe even for our family members. And it's on our hearts today for maybe the brokenness that we truly do see in the world and the sense of wanting to stand up for Yahweh's justice in a generation that is very, very wicked and that is sometimes very, very hard to live in. A generation that we know, you know, so many people before us, the disciples themselves, long to see our generation. And yet we know it is a hard generation to be alive in. We know that as we read and continue to read the scriptures, we know that we will see many more wars and we will see many hardships, and the things that we will see will be heartbreaking. And especially for those among us who carry a heart for people and who carry a heart for the broken, who carry a heart for the vulnerable and for the people that are considered the lowest of low, for the people who are pushed onto the edges and for the people who maybe are homeless, the people who struggle, the people who are vulnerable in our generation, and even for nations that Yahweh has on our hearts, it's laid on our hearts, and maybe even just for the people we love and care for, our family members that are not saved, our spouses that aren't saved, our loved ones that have yet to turn to Yeshua and have yet to come to Him and see His glory and see His truth and see His face and know that the way that He wants them to walk is so set apart and sacred, and they've yet to reach that point. And so today, as we are together, I know that if we were physically together, there would be a time where we will be able to really just voice what is on our hearts. But because we're not together, I want us to take a minute and just still our hearts. Because the challenge that Yahweh gives us, and even today, as He's really, really just wanting me to say to you, is that He wants us to speak it and let Him show up. In other words, He wants you right now in this moment, even if your dog or your housemaid or someone sitting nearby you is going to think you're crazy. Yahweh is challenging us right now to speak what is on your heart, to speak what is burdening your heart, to speak the greatest worry that you have on your heart. No, that doesn't mean maybe you feel worried right now, or maybe you're stressed right now. No, maybe you're happy and joyful and filled with shalom and filled with peace and just filled with excitement to be on the Restoration Hour and to be fellowshipping and to be with each other. And maybe you feel joyful and you have that, but deep down inside of you, there's something on your heart that Yahweh knows. And He's saying to today that He wants you to speak it and let Him show up. He wants you to speak it and say it out loud into the air, into the atmosphere, into the spirit tonight. And you know, if that has to start with, Abba Father, I am worried about my spouse. I want the salvation of my spouse. Or maybe it sounds like, I'm worried about my children and I long to see them come to salvation. You know, maybe it sounds like I'm worried about my parents. My parents do not know you, Yeshua, and I want them to come to you in this final generation where we are alive right now. Maybe it even sounds like, Abba Father, my heart is broken for your believers in Ukraine today who are suffering. Whatever that sounds like, but also make it personal. And I'm going to give you a few seconds right now. I can't hear you, you know, and maybe you're sitting in a room where someone else is and that becomes a little bit awkward. But I want you to take a moment and to just speak. You know, I'm going to give you that this time to just speak what is on the depth of your heart today. Like I say, you could feel joy. It doesn't have to necessarily mean that you are burdened tonight by that thing. But maybe you do carry something inside of you on a daily basis that's just deep down within that you have never really voiced, or that you don't have spaces to voice, or that you don't have a place to speak it. I want you to be able to speak that now. Yahweh is saying to you today, I want you to speak it and allow me to show up. He might not show up right now during this restoration hour time, but he might show up tomorrow for you. He might show up in the next week for you. It's about allowing yourself to speak it into his space and allow him to show up. So I'm going to give you a minute to do that, to be with your Father, to be with your God, to be with the person, you know, Yahweh is the person that loves you so deeply, so passionately, so intimately, so well. And so here's this moment right now. Take it and speak what is on your heart to him. Allow him to show up for you.
Father, we want to thank you so much for loving us and for caring for us. We want to thank you, Father, that you have us, Father, in the palm of your hand. And Father, that you said in your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, even though the nations around roar, Father, even though people around us, Father, might think that we are not, Father, who we say we are, or think that we are crazy, Father, your word still says, Father, that you go before us, that you will never leave us, that you will always fight for us. And Father, that you are looking for people in this generation, Father, that will stand in the gap. A man or a woman, Father, that will pray, that will get on their knees, Father, and trust you, Father, with all that they are. We pray this evening, Father, that as we just speak about this restoration hour, Father, that you will grant your people hope again. Father, that we will hope, that we will not be fearful, Father, but that we will look to you, the author and perfecter of our faith. And Father, that we will come to understand the scriptures, that we'll come to understand, Father, your plan with mankind and humankind and the world in general, Father, in the days to come. And Father, most importantly, Father, that we will come to discover, Father, the plan that you have, Father, to show your glory, to reveal yourself, to show the world, Father, who you are. Even though, Father, it feels like we've just come out of a great big suffering, Father, through a pandemic, and the world is moving into a different direction once again, Father, and history is being written on a daily basis. And Father, sometimes we pause and we say, where are you, Yahweh? Where are you in all of this? Where is your glory, Father? Where is your face? We know, Father, that you are right there looking at us, Father, every single day, knowing exactly every hair on our head, Father, knowing exactly every desire that is in us, Father, every fear, every worry, Father, every joy, every desire, Father, and every vision and dream that we have, Father, you know it. So, Father, this evening we pray that on this restoration hour, Father, that you will give your people not only hope, but, Father, that you will bless them, Father, to see with the eyes, Father, that come from above and not from below. Father, that we will see as you want us to see in this world, Father, as it is so covered with so much darkness, Father. Sometimes it's so difficult to see the light, to see the truth, Father, to see through the lies that man has created, Father, for their own gain. Tonight, Father, I pray that we will see you, Father, in all of this and understand your plan and how we form part of that plan, Father, and that you have a great destiny for each one of us. We thank you for this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. You know, speaking of, you know, the darkness and the light, when we think about it, it's so interesting. Today we were in a parking lot. We were walking out from the mall, and, you know, it was it's obviously very dark in a parking area, as we well know. You know, it's not a very hugely lit area. And it's so interesting because I kind of saw some light beams coming through and falling into the parking area. And, you know, my desire was to just really put my hand into the light and to really touch this light. And I think that, you know, it's interesting with light because it's, you know, if you have that small ray of light that comes through in any crack or any surface, it's a very specific ray of light, and you can't, it's very elusive almost, because you gotta, if when you put your hand there, you're kind of trying to figure out, where's the source of it, where's it coming from, that it can just, you know, how do I put my hand in this thing to get the light on me? And I kind of feel like the pursuit of light sometimes feels like that. But when I kind of got my hand into the light, it was incredible how that small ray of light just illuminated not only my hand but my arm and everything, and I could see so clearly. And it was like Yahweh was giving me a parable in that moment and saying to me that it really does feel dark sometimes, and really, just like you prayed, Yosef, sometimes it feels like when so much happens, even in our own lives, not only even on a global scale, that it really does feel sometimes like, where are you, Yahweh? Mm-hmm. And that's not unbelief, that's not a lack of faith, it's just our human, we are feeling what it feels like to be human. And I think that condition came in because of what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. Sure. Adam and Eve walked with Yahweh on this daily basis, where he experienced them, you know, Yahweh experienced their closeness and they experienced his closeness. You know, there was that unbroken closeness and never having to think, where is God in my situation? Because of course they didn't have any bad situations, but also because they didn't have that fragment of where is Yahweh when it all goes wrong. And because of that sin and because of that fall, we know that we experience that and have that, even though we know in our minds that Yahweh is there. And you know, I really want to encourage you today that we started off together today voicing, giving voice to that which is in the depth of our heart. And you know, Yahweh is challenging us and encouraging us to know that I will show up. You know, I will show up. And sometimes it's okay to wonder if Yahweh is at work in our situations. Yes, that wondering must not let us turn into becoming bitter, but it does allow us to just be very real with him and to sit in that which is uncomfortable. And often, you know, where are you, Yahweh, is actually quite uncomfortable, and it makes us have to ask questions. And you know, I was reading the word this morning for quite a long time, and there was a lot that I was grappling with in the word as I was reading, and I kept on having these questions that came up. And there was a part of me that was like, no, you don't need to ask those questions. You know, I shouldn't be thinking these questions. So I shouldn't be. And I heard the voice, you know, of Yahweh, the Holy Spirit say to me, I want you to ask me these questions. It's okay. It was like this very calming voice that said, I want you to ask me these questions. Let's have this conversation. And the more that I allowed the questions to come to the surface, the more I felt Yahweh just sitting with me and being like, okay, let's just read the word together. You know, ask the questions, and it's okay. You can ask Yahweh of those questions. But today, Yahweh also wants us on the Restoration Hour to say something specific. When we were praying, when I was praying and saying to Yahweh, what is it you want us to talk about? You know, there were so many different things. But he also said, remind my people that I am mighty. Remind my people that I am mighty. And so today I'm going to proclaim those scriptures, and we're also going to get into those scriptures. Everything that we do in the Restoration Hour is today is important. And you know what? This is a scripture that I want to read to you. I'm going to read it over you. Yusuf, I want to proclaim the scripture, but also want to touch a little bit on it. And it's a scripture that probably is very special for a lot of people, because it's a very, very powerful scripture. And it's one that I believe Yahweh speaks to many people. And it's found in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. And it says this: Yahweh your God is with you. Yahweh your God is ever present. He is with you. He is mighty to save, and he will take great delight in you, and he will quieten you with his love. How powerful is that scripture, Yosef? He is with you, he's always with us, and he will quieten you with his love. It's not a sense of like, oh, hush, hush, be quiet. You know, you don't have questions, you can't ask them. It's a quietness, a peacefulness that comes with, you know, with his love. He will quieten you with his love. His love is that sense of peace. It's that sense of, you know, I can be still and know that he is my God. And then he says, he is mighty to save. I think that that's the most powerful. This is a very loving scripture. Obviously, there's a context, and we're not getting into all that this evening. But this is a beautiful scripture, isn't it? It's loving. Yahweh's with me. I don't have to worry. You know, he's delighting in me. That's beautiful. He's quieting me with his love. That's spectacular. But it really says he is mighty to save. Now, the word for mighty there is actually this word, which is in Hebrew, gibor, which means a valiant man or warrior. So here we have Yahweh saying that that is who he is rising up to be in our lives. He is rising up to be a mighty man, a valiant man, a warrior in our lives. So when we are in any situation, or we are just living our lives, Yahweh reveals himself in, you know, our trials or in what we face as a mighty man who is valiant and is a warrior. We have the God of the universe on our side as a warrior God, as a valiant, valiant, valiant God. In other words, he's brave and courageous and all those things that we assign to human beings, you know, courage under fire and just being brave and valiant and picking up his sword and doing battle. The beautiful thing about this is, and someone said this to me in the week, and I loved it. You know, they say the devil doesn't fight fair. And I said, yes, the devil doesn't fight fair. You know, I've seen that over the past few months, when one hardship happens, suddenly the devil comes and he kind of knocks you out, you know, and then he brings another one and you're like, okay, trauma upon trauma, grief upon grief, loss upon loss, pain upon pain. Where am I going with this? And it's kind of like then the enemy lies. And then if you catch on to that lie and you don't do it soon enough, you know, you got to catch him out and go, okay, he is aligned to me. Or if you believe that lie, it results in something else and it just becomes devastating. And this person said to me, the devil doesn't fight fair. But remember that we don't go into the fight fair either, because Yahweh already has the victory. So when we go into any kind of battle, any kind of fight with the enemy, or any kind of trial that we go through, whatever we deal with, it's not a fair advantage on him either, because we already have the victory. But we need to stay in Yeshua in order to live out that victory. And this is what it's all about. Yahweh is a warrior God who already has the victory. You know, we've said it before in the Restoration Hour, the devil is not the opposite of Yahweh. There is no opposite of Yahweh. You know, the devil is the opposite of one of the other angels, Michael, for example, because the devil was an angel that fell. There is no opposite of Yahweh. He has no, you know, opposite of him. There is no one like him. So we have a warrior God who has revealed himself as the warrior king to us in everything that we go through. He is mighty to save. Even when it seems like there is no hope, or when the things around us get hard for our hearts, it is so that he is a Gibor. And we also know in Deuteronomy 7 verse 21, when, you know, Yahweh tells his people that they need to go into the promised land and they need to take over the land and they need to destroy the Hittite and the Perizzite and all of those. Yahweh says to his people, his encouragement is this: you will not be afraid of them. Do not be frightened at the sight of them, for Yahweh your God is among you. He is a mighty God. And he is terrible. That's what it says in our English. I quite like that. He is terrible. When we think of that word terrible, it kind of seems negative, you know, but actually in the Hebrew, it means that word terrible there means he is to be feared and to be worshipped. That's what it means for Yahweh to be terrible. We fear him not with unholy, you know, unrighteous fear of like, oh, he's going to hurt me and harm me and I need to be careful and I need to be this, I need to be that. It's a reverence, that fear that leads to worship, that fear that leads to awe, that fear that leads to inspiration. And Yosef, isn't this amazing? Because Yahweh says to his people, don't be frightened of them, I'm with you. And I'm like fearful, you know, I'm like terrible. I'm like mighty and I'm a warrior and I'm in the midst of you and you have nothing to fear because I am to be feared and I am to be worshipped. I truly believe that sometimes if you fear something, it is sometimes because that thing is so magnified in your sight that that takes the place of that reverence that we have for Yahweh. In that, you know, sometimes the things in our lives that do burden us can become so magnified that those things become terrible to us. Whereas Yahweh is saying he is to be feared with that righteous fear and he is to be worshipped and he is to be magnified.
Amen. You know, Leah, I think that that's so true, how things in this world seem to be magnified so much and how, you know, not only media, but people you know, I would say mostly the media, things get magnified and it creeps in and then we sit with fear. And fear is one of those things that seems to, whether we believe in Yeshua or not, I believe that as believers in Yeshua, we shouldn't fear these things. But unfortunately, because of what's going on around us and because of the way that, you know, maybe our countries are or the way that, you know, society is or things that happen, the fear grips us sometimes. And sometimes there's always that question of, like we said when we were praying, where are you, Yahweh, in the midst of the storm? And I want us to go to a song. And when we come back, we want to touch a little bit about, you know, what's going on in the world right now. And what is the, you know, what does Yahweh say to us as people? What are we supposed to do? Because the truth of the matter is, you know, while you were talking, I was sitting here and I was speaking to the Father. And I really want to say this evening that, you know, some of you listening, you'll, you know, maybe to others, people, they look to you and say, well, you know what, you're a believer, you need to have the answers. And maybe you're sitting tonight and you're saying, well, you know what, I don't have the answers. I'm actually fearing myself. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, what if X, Y, and Z happens? What if, you know, these things that are happening in the world right now begin to escalate? What's going to happen? And I want to give you some hope this evening that if we know who Yahweh is, then he gives us answers. And not only that, his word is so true. You know, the one thing about Yahweh's word, like you said, Elia, is that he is faithful, that he is so just, and not only just, but that he gives us, from the beginning of history all the way through, he shows us the pattern of what happens to the righteous and what happens to the wicked. But more importantly, he also tells us that, you know, even though you suffer, your suffering will not be in vain. Your suffering will be good, and that things will happen through the things that you go through. But he also gives us prophecies and he gives us words in the scriptures. And that's why it's so important as believers to be good Bereans, to study the word out. And that when we begin to see the signs of the times and things happening around us, that we don't fear, but we line things up with scripture and begin to understand that Yahweh is at work too. Even though the enemy seems to be winning the battle sometimes, Yahweh is winning. And Yahweh is hard at work. And Yahweh is working in the lives of people. And these things have to take place in order for his kingdom to be established again. Prophecy has to take place. And unfortunately, there's many things that's going to happen in the world that's not going to be good. Many things that's going to happen that's going to be very sad. But as believers, we need to find our rooting in Messiah Yeshua, and we have to figure out, where do we belong in all of this? And how do we play our part in a world that is going into chaos? And the world is changing. There is no doubt about it. And Yahweh wants us to understand that these things have been spoken about from the very beginning. And prophecy tells us that things are going to change. The world powers that we're looking at today, and we see what's going on even in the world, things have to change. One side has to fall in order for a new side to stand up so that the rest of prophecy can come to fulfillment. So we shouldn't be fearing, but we should take hope, like you said, in what Yahweh has told us, that He is our light. And that even in the darkness, that there is rays of light that's shining forth. And Yahweh is going to strengthen His people. But there are hard times coming, and we need to understand that there is hard times coming, but that doesn't mean that our lives are coming to an end. Mm-hmm. It also doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. There's still a lot that has to take place, but we need to be people that realize, where do we fit in this? And when hard times come, what are we going to do? Are we going to quit? Are we going to fall back? Are we going to say, oh, woe is me? Or are we actually going to get on our knees and say, Father, help us? You know, I before we go to the song, I read something very interesting. You know, I saw a post about what's happening now in the world with Ukraine. And, you know, they were saying, you know, we don't need your prayers. We need your guns. We need ammunition. And the truth of the matter is, yes, we need to fight in the physical, and we need to fight the war, and the war is waging. But at the same time, we as people that cannot be there and pick up arms, we have to be praying. We have to be praying, but at the same time, we have to understand, and this is where there comes this fundamental, crux of the matter. You know, there are times where we have to be praying, but there is times also where we as the people of Yahweh have to understand the plan of Yahweh and understand, you know, what is prophecy and what has to happen. And if we understand that, then yes, we can stand back and say, okay, Yahweh, work what needs to be worked, but we pray for the lives of the people that are suffering. We pray for the lives of the people that are dying. We pray for people, but we understand, Father, that these things have to take place in order for your kingdom to be established. When we understand that, then the burden that we see and the fears that we have becomes less, and we begin to understand Yahweh's purposes and plans.
Amen. We're going to go to that song right now. It's called Mighty to Save. Take some time to just enjoy the song and probably sing along because it's a well-known song, but don't go anywhere. We want to continue when we get back, so enjoy.
Heroes and conquered.
We all know that song and all love that song, don't we? Mighty to Save, because that's what it's all about. You know, what we've been saying is that Yahweh is a mighty God, and He's mighty among us. He's mighty with us. You know, He's mighty in everything that is happening in the world. So it is so incredible to know Him and serve Him. And we're going to get into some more scriptures. We want to take you deep into the Word today on the Restoration Hour. Yosef, there is quite a few scriptures that you have on your heart that you wanted to share with us. And I think that it's super important, like you said, for us to know, you know, what is happening, and to have that shalom in our hearts and to have hope in our hearts as well.
Amen. You know, Sudhi, what you're saying is so true, that the world is getting crazy, and it seems like a time bomb has just been set, and every madman that's that's filled with demons seems to just be going crazy. But you know, the truth of the matter is that, like we said, and like I said in the beginning, we need to understand the scriptures, and we need to understand how Yahweh has a plan and how His plan is unfolding each and every day. And that these things need to happen in order for other biblical prophecies to come true. And I'm not going to speak this evening about those things, because I want to do a teaching on exactly what's happening. But what's important is that we get to a point where we understand that Yahweh has us in the palm of His hand, and that He keeps on saying to us over and over that the righteous will not be harmed. The righteous are those that He will protect in the time of, or in the hour of trial. But what do we do now? What do we do while all these things are taking place? And you know, the truth of the matter is as well, I was reading, you know, Leah, the book of Philippians, where Paul was imprisoned, and Paul was in prison for proclaiming the gospel. And he goes to prison, and he's in prison, and he's talking, and he's writing, and he's talking about the fact that, you know, he's chained, he's chained with a guard, a Roman centurion is with him continually. And if we think about how he lived and what he did, he continued to write the scriptures despite the fact that he was in prison, despite the fact that he was being beaten, despite the fact that he was, you know, in suffering, in despite the fact that times were hard, things were difficult. We have to come to a point where we realize this evening that, like I said in the prayer, that the world powers are changing. Things are going to change. In order for other biblical prophecies to come to fruition, these things are going to take place. And we're going to see the economy. We're going to see how the world is changing on a daily basis. And for some of us, there will be times that it is going to be difficult. Our economies in different countries are going to change. Different things are going to be, you know, cost more money. Certain things are going to have to happen in order for Yahweh to return. So, as people of Yahweh, we need to be prepared for not only the suffering, but we also need to be prepared for the gospel. Because this is a time where there are going to be many, many people that are going to be asking many different questions. And the cry that so many people always run to first is this World War III? Is this the end of the world? But there is so much that still needs to take place prophetically that it cannot yet be. But the time and the clock is ticking so fast that it's now more than ever time for us to really awaken, Eliah, to get to a point where we say, hey, you know what, I have to do more. And I want to read the scripture to you. Two scriptures, actually. One is found in Psalm 55, verse 22. It says, cast your burden on Yahweh, and let Him sustain you. He never allows the righteous to be shaken. So we need to get to a point where we backtrack a little bit and say, you know what, Yahweh, my root and my sustainability is in You. My root and sustainability is not in this world. It's not of this world. It's not found in the world. Yes, the world is going crazy and things are escalating. But my focus has to change from the media, the propaganda, and all the things that are happening around me. And my focus has to come back on You. What is it that You want me to do with my life right now? How can I keep my focus on the things that You've created me to do instead of fearing? And you know, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid nor be discouraged, for Yahweh your Elohim is with you wherever you go. No matter what we have to do, no matter where we go, even if, like with Paul that was suffering, he was chained, he died for his faith, yet he believed that to live was gain, to die was gain. Either one was good. Whether I live for Yeshua, it's good. Whether I die, it's even better, because I'm going to go and be with my Father. So in this life that we are alive in now, we need to come to a point where we say to ourselves, I want to live a fruitful life. I want to live a life that brings glory to the Father. But even though there might be some suffering, even though there might be some hard times ahead for all of us, we need to get to a point where we say, Yahweh, what is it that you want from me? And you know what's important? You know what we see in all of this that really, really amazes me? We see it in war often, and we see it not only in war, but when there's crises, whenever there is a crisis, how Yahweh gets glorified through those crises. But not only that, how humanity as a whole begins to unify, how people around the world begin to unify, and how people begin to support one another and help one another. It's now the time more than ever for us to unify as citizens of this world, as people, as humanity, and begin to ask the question, where is Yahweh? Where is Yahweh in all of this? How can we play our part to reveal Yahweh to the world? Because the world is moving to a point where they are getting more and more fearful and more scared. And that's, I believe, the time where Yahweh steps in, where Yahweh will reveal himself in a way where people have an opportunity to accept him, because they have to have another opportunity before the end to accept him. So all these things, these prophetic events that are happening, Elia, and the wars and things that are going to take place, they have to happen. But we need to know which wars are significant and which wars are, just like Yeshua said, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Mm. Which ones are significant and which aren't? So this evening, I want to say this to you. Don't lose hope. Don't change your focus. Don't let your focus fall to the ground. Keep your eyes on Yeshua. Keep your trust in him, and let him sustain you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what still comes ahead, we have to know that Yahweh can supply our every need.
Mm. Wow, you know, what more can we say to that? I love that scripture, Psalm 55, cast your burden onto Yahweh. It's such an important scripture, and it's such a powerful scripture when we look at it and we say we can cast that burden onto him because he's the burden carrying Elohim.
I have one scripture that I just want to share that's very, I feel it's very significant. You know, I don't believe that all of us one day through this life that we live, that we're going to die, or we're going to be put to death, or we're going to, no. But there's a second part of this passage of scripture that I really believe speaks to each one of us. And it's found in Luke chapter 21, 16 to 19. And it says, and you shall also be betrayed by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. And some of you shall be put to death, and you shall be hated by all because of my name. But you know, in all that suffering, in all those things that these people went through, we know the great heroes of faith, they went through hard times. You know, he says this, he says, but not a hair on your head shall be lost at all. Possess your lives by your endurance. Now is the time, from now right up until Yeshua returns, that we will possess our lives by overcoming and by enduring. We have to endure until the end.
Mm. I want to read one final scripture as well this evening, and to, you know, just further touch, you know, been speaking these scriptures that have said, you know, Yahweh is mighty, and don't forget that. I think it's a reminder that we all need. It says it over and over again. That word mighty is just used continually, but in different ways. Isaiah 1 verse 24 says, therefore, this says Yahweh, the Lord God of hosts, he alone is the mighty one of Israel, and he will ease himself of his adversaries. Mm. You know, again, if you look at this word mighty throughout the scriptures, it's actually different words that Yahweh uses to speak of himself consistently. In the beginning, I told you, was the Gibor, this valiant man, this warrior. But then when he speaks, you know, here in Isaiah, he uses another word that just simply means mighty one in the air, the one who soars above things, the one who is above things. And when we read in, you know, Joshua 4 verse 24, he says that all the people of the earth may know the hand of Yahweh, that the hand of Yahweh is mighty, and that we ourselves may fear Yahweh our God forever. Mm-hmm. And there, when, you know, that is spoken, it says that may all the earth know that the hand of Yahweh is mighty. And that's another word used for mighty there, which is that word chazak, which means to be powerful, to be violent. And so Joshua, because he was living in a generation where they would go and they would defeat all those people in the land and they would possess the promise land, he was saying, Yahweh, reveal yourself as that, as, you know, he was referring to the violence of Yahweh and the overcoming of, you know, evil and this great, strong, mighty hand. And you know what? Speaking of the great, strong, mighty hand, when we encounter that word mighty hand, It is something that we see often in scripture. And the word, you know, mighty, this chazak, actually refers to this strong, mighty hand of Yahweh, which we know is spoken about so many times in the prophets. It talks about the strong right hand of Yahweh. And actually, we know that it's also referring to Yeshua. And it's spoken about so many times. There's a final scripture that I want to share with you. And when I read it to you, you're going to say to me, Leah, what's the scripture got to do with anything? It was actually a prophecy that was spoken about Yeshua himself, and it's already been fulfilled, but it reveals the depth of the kind of might that Yahweh has in a very deep way, because it's found in Zechariah 13, verse 7. This was fulfilled, but listen to the depth of this. It says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my equal, thus says Yahweh of hosts, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones." Now, firstly, we know this was a prophecy that was fulfilled because Yahweh himself was saying, awaken against my shepherd. That shepherd was Yeshua, who we know went to the stake, who died. And we know when Yeshua was struck that the disciples scattered. We know this. But these words that I use are so special and so powerful, and says, awaken, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my equal. This is the only time in the entire Bible where Yahweh says there is one who is equal to me. What is he actually saying? He's actually saying that this is Yeshua. Yeshua is Yahweh. Yahweh is Yeshua. You know, it's this equality that exists between them, that God himself was putting himself out there to be struck in order so that we could be saved. And not just so that we can be saved. When he talks about the sword here, awaken a sword that's going to strike against the shepherd. If you look at the words, it says divine judgment. The sword was really that not only did Yeshua die in order to take our sins upon him, but he felt the divine judgment of Yahweh upon himself, even though he was not sinful. He had no sin of his own, but he went to the suffering in order to feel what the divine judgment against evil felt like. God put himself on a tree and felt the divine judgment against himself that he would one day give against his adversaries. The depth of that kind of love is what Yahweh expresses when he also talks about being a mighty warrior who is with you. If he himself went to the stake because of his great love for us, how much more, you know, how much more hope should we have in him that he reveals himself as mighty in our lives? And sometimes even on the other hand, there will be things that we have to suffer through in this life, not because we are sinners, not because we are bad, but because we are just, you know, we go through things in life that is difficult, that is hard. Sometimes, you know, and I hear it a lot, and I heard it recently from someone who said, I'm going through all this stuff, you know, my business isn't taking off, this isn't working, this isn't happening, what am I doing wrong? And sometimes that is very much the wrong attitude to have towards what we're doing. Yes, let's look at ourselves and say, you know, do I have sin? Is there something that I've done? You know, let me look at myself. Is there sin in my life? Let me get rid of that. But also sometimes, just like Yeshua suffered in this world, we will suffer too, not because we are wrong, not because we are sinners, not because I've harbored sin in my life or I'm doing anything wrong, but because my life is part of a greater plan. Mm. And his might is revealed in me when I'm in that time of trial, when I'm in that time of suffering, when I'm truly, truly, you know, in that place, then you are with me. And you know, Yahweh put himself out there for us. He really, really did. And I want to say, he says there that he says, awaken, O sword, against my shepherd. But then he says, against the man who is my equal. We've dealt with this equal, but the man. He uses a very, very specific word here. And this specific word comes from that word Gibor that I told you about earlier on, when Yahweh says he is mighty to save. He will take delight in you. He will quieten you with his love. He says he is mighty to save. He is Gibor. It means I'm valiant. But there is a deeper word that comes from that word Gibor. And it is this word Geber. And it literally means, if you look at it, it's a word that scholars have really, really struggled with, because different people who interpret Hebrew are struck by the reality that a Geber, who Yahweh is referring to here in Zechariah 13, when he's talking about Yeshua, is a man that's unlike any other man. It's a man that is so high and above other people in his morality, in his ideals, in his values, in his goodness, in his being, that it is just a man of all mans. A man above any other man. And I'm using that word man because it is particularly man. It was not actually ever in the Bible referred to woman and children. It was only referred to a specific kind of man that can be created in the world. It wasn't just Yeshua who was this absolute Geber. Yes, Yahweh refers to himself as this man who is his equal, Yeshua being this ultimate. We know Yeshua was the ultimate. But actually, Yosef, we found this word Geber, this kind of man that we should try and all be, mentioned 15 times in the book of Job. Job speaks consistently of what it means to be a righteous person before Yahweh, to be a Geber, to be a kind of person who is so righteous in their generation, who is going to be filled with suffering, who is going to go through the trials of life, but he's going to be righteous before Yahweh. And I want to read to you because I think these characteristics in the book of Job speak to us. Yes, this word never ever in the Bible meant woman and children, but I think we can apply it to all believers, because Job says that if you want to be this kind of person before Yahweh, if you want to be the kind of person that is just, you know, ideally becoming the kind of person Yahweh wants you to be, you have to do the following things. This kind of person knows that they are born for tests and born for trials. This kind of person is just and pure and is aware of their own mortality. In other words, they are comfortable with the fact that one day they will die, and they're comfortable with that. This kind of person that is so powerful before Yahweh is someone who is vigorous in their usefulness to God. Wow. I'm just claiming that one right there. Vigorous in how useful they are to Yahweh. This kind of person is wise. This kind of person desires redemption. Desires redemption. Job says that a person who is righteous before Yahweh, who has attained that level, is desiring redemption. That person pleases God and intercedes for their neighbor. Are you interceding today? Have you said a prayer yet for our brothers and sisters who are suffering in Ukraine? 70% of the Ukrainians are evangelical Christians. Have we said a prayer for them today? Are we a person that is wanting to intercede? You know, this kind of person is going to suffer in this life, but keeps from pride, keeps from bad conduct, and understands that sometimes there is no profit in serving God, but yet still serves Yahweh. And I want to pause there and say, you know what? It's so easy to get discouraged when we don't see things happening the way we want them to. It's so easy to kind of feel like, oh, I don't want to intercede, or I don't want to do this because there's no profit in it. You know, I'm not getting anything back. How do I know anyone's been saved in Ukraine because I'm praying? This person, the kind of righteous person that Yahweh is looking for and is raising up in might and power, understands that sometimes there's no profit what we can see to serve Yahweh, but we still do it. This kind of person is also understanding and is ready to take action. Yes and amen. Let's be ready to take action. This kind of person also understands that they will answer to God because they know that one day they will die. And you know what? This is the Geber that Job consistently talks about, because Job wants to be that person. Yahweh speaks about himself as being that person, the mighty to save man, this man who came and gave it all for us, and his sacrifice revealed his might, Yosef. Sometimes we think might is just that warrior and that valiant man who carries a sword and is ready to take action and, you know, grab the shotgun when needed and do the battle when it's coming. But a mighty person also knows when it's time to sacrifice themselves for someone else. Yahweh gave us that pattern and showed us that being mighty to save meant that he would die in order for us to be saved. We have to know where that line is, so that we can know how we are to live and understand what sometimes the might of Yahweh looks like. It might not always be that huge divine rescue that we're hoping for, but maybe it's when suffering, like you said earlier on, when suffering happens, there will be stories of miracles. There will be stories of intervention. There will be stories, Yahweh saving people miraculously or stopping things happening, or maybe doing something in your life that you didn't anticipate. His might is revealed sometimes in the suffering. Doesn't mean that we won't go through it, but it means that sometimes might and power of Yahweh looks different, but he's still mighty to save.
Amen. You know, Leah, it's so sad that today most of modern Christianity and most believers don't believe that they need to suffer. And, you know, because of so many different gospels that are proclaimed, people think that everything is just, you know, your successful life. But the truth of the matter is that Yahweh tells us very clearly that in the suffering is the place most often where we find him. And not only in the suffering, you know, he says very clearly there that in the testing, in the trials, in the things that you've gone through in your life, in the things that Yahweh allows for you to go through, those are the places where our character is shaped. It's the places where we are molded and where we are shaped and where we are ready and able to stand up and to do the things that we need to do. And I really do believe that that's why it says continually in the book of Revelation, blessed is he or she that overcomes. And overcoming in the days to come is going to be difficult. Many people will fall away from the faith. Many people will return to the way that it was before because they don't want to suffer, because they don't want to go through trials, because they don't want to endure to the end, because they don't want to know the depth and the truth of who Yahweh is in those moments. And you know, Paul, there's one thing that Paul says, and he says, I want to know Yeshua, not only in his death, but also in his suffering. Mm. In the suffering that Yeshua, and you know the way that he writes it in such a profound way that he's saying, you know what, I want to have fellowship. And he actually talks about the fellowship of his sufferings. So he's saying that, you know, I want to understand what these things that Yeshua went through, the sufferings, what it brought about. He's not talking about, oh, I want to sit there and feel pain. And no, he's talking about, I want to feel in my heart that what those sufferings did and how Yeshua went through it and how it changed him, how it turned his life around. That's why Paul was not afraid, like Job says. He was not afraid to die because he had a greater understanding through the sufferings and through the trials and through the things that Yeshua went through. He came to understand what the glory was that awaited him on the day that he would die. He came to understand that there was this great hope and that there was this great thing waiting for him that was profound. And he understood that if I'm going to preach, I'm not going to give 50%. I'm going to give 150%, and I'm going to do it right up until the day that I can't do it anymore. Paul was proclaiming the gospel even when he was losing his eyesight. He was still doing things. He was still getting someone else to come and write his letters for him so that he could be proclaiming the gospel. And even there in the book of Philippians, when he's talking and he's speaking, he's in chains, but he's still proclaiming the gospel. And you know what that did? It brought him right before Caesar. And it was something that he always wanted. He wanted to be able to speak, and he gets the opportunity to, in his suffering and chains, to actually proclaim the gospel to one of the most influential leaders of the time. And to say, hey, you know what? This God that I serve is a living Elohim. So we need to understand, like Job says, that our sufferings will not only bring us closer to Yahweh, but it can also bring other people around us closer to Yahweh. As we help them, as we share the truth, and as we go through those things, sometimes it might be in your suffering or it might be after your suffering that you will have the compassion and the ability to share with other people in those situations that they might be going through. And that's why Yahweh takes us through it. It's so much more powerful and so much more heart-wrenching and touching when somebody can speak from their heart instead of from a thesis or a book or a theology. When we can speak from our hearts to people, it touches the lives of others and it helps people to understand that, hey, you know what? If you've been through it and you survived, then I should be able to go through it and I can also get my freedom. And Yahweh then receives the glory, not us.
Praise him for that. It's incredible. I'm just really, really, you know, it's just amazing to just consider the way that Yahweh works not always the way that we think, not so, but just really in His way. And we want to go to that final song of the evening. It's called Champion. But when we get back, we want to be able to pray for you. If you have a very specific prayer request, we cannot actually see the names of anyone that's on this evening because our Mixler seems to not be showing us the names. But if you have a prayer request, please put it down. We'd love to pray for you. If not, we'll just pray together when we get back. So enjoy the song and we'll pray after this.
Back to us. I'm champion.
Father, we want to thank you tonight in the name of Yeshua that you are our champion. That, Father, that you fight for us, that you go before us. And, Father, that you said in your word, as we said, Father, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. I pray this evening, Father, that we will truly be people that overcome. People, Father, of the light and not of the darkness. People, Father, that step out of the places where we find ourselves, Father, and step out with you going before us. I pray, Father, that we will become the people that proclaim the gospel of Messiah Yeshua in this generation like we have never seen before. I pray, Father, that people around the globe, Father, will begin to pray and ask you, Father, to show them how it is, Father, and how they can play a part, Father, in this great story. Father, now is the time, Father, where we really need to get together, Father, as people, as believers, Father, and seek your face and ask you, Father, for direction and ask you, Father, for clarity and ask you, Father, to help us that our eyes stay focused on you and not slip into all the things of this world. The enemy, Father, is hard at work to bring delusion, Father, to bring so many falsehoods and lies. And Father, over and over, Yeshua told us in Matthew chapter 24 that these things will happen and that they will be like birth pains, Father, but yet that we are not to be deceived. I pray, Father, that we will not be deceived, but Father, that our clarity and our information, Father, will come from you and from your word and from your spirit. We thank you, Father, for your people, Father, that have joined us this evening. We thank you for those that will listen at a later stage. And we ask, Father, that your hand of protection will be upon each and every person. We pray, Father, that they're going out and they're coming in, Father, will be blessed. We ask, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that no matter what happens in the world, Father, in the next couple of weeks or months, Father, that you will look after your children. Father, that you will supply their every need, that you will give unto them, Father, what they need for every situation. And Father, that you will keep them in the palm of your hand. We thank you, Yahweh, that you are gracious. We thank you, Father, that you love us. And we thank you, Father, that you sent your Son Yeshua to die for us. As that song said, his blood paid the price for us. And we are so grateful for that. And we give you all the honor and all the glory in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. It's been so good to be with you here on the Restoration Hour. May Yahweh really bless you. May we continue just to pray about, you know, what we see, what's on our hearts. And may Yeshua really show up in your life in such powerful ways. It's been such a blessing to be here. Shavuot Tov from our side. May Yahweh bless you, keep you, and make his amazing face to shine upon you. May he keep you and your family, you know, during this crazy time in the world. May we have his shalom and his peace. May we be mightily used by him in this time and in this generation. Take care, and we will see you next week. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.